Okay, the Mashkiach asked me to give a shmooze in his absence, so very honored with that privilege. The Pasuk says, "Vateitzei Dina Basleya." Dina Basleya goes out. We know what happens to her. Rashi brings the Medrash. Basleya v'lo Bas Yaakov. The Torah refers to her as Basleya and not Bas Yaakov. Why? Al Shem Yitziyasa Nikres Basleya. She's called Basleya because she went out. Shafi Yatzaris Hayesa. Because Leia also was a Yatzaris. Shenemar Vateitzei Leia Likraso. Balea Mashlo Hamashal Ki'ima Kabita. The mother, like daughter, like mother, like daughter. In other words, Dina was a Yatzani. She went out, and she ultimately was violated, and that's why the Torah attributes her yichus to Leah, Dina bas Leah, because Leah also was a Yatzani. As we know, Leah went out to greet Yaakov Avinu when Rachel exchanged her time with Yaakov for the Dudaim. So the Medrash compares Leah to Dina. And the Medrash, there's a Medrash goes on that the Kesher is Yatsim Mekushetes Kazona. Leah went out adorned like a Zona. So too, Dina also the same thing. Vatetzi Dina Bas Leah. Now, it's hard to say these words. That's the Medrash. Everything has to be understood. Kafi, everyone's Madrega, obviously. We're not here to judge Leah. We're not here to judge Dina. I mean, we can't be massing these people, obviously. But bring it down to our level to understand, to take a lesson. I think that's important. Now, the Medrash is Tamua, because Lechora, there's absolutely no comparison to Leah's going out and the going out of Dina. Leah was L'shem Shemayim through and through. She was looking to build more Shvatim because she had the opportunity now to be with Yaakov. And she went out L'shem Shemayim to say to Yaakov, it's going to be for me you're going to build tonight. Tremendous, tremendous schus to be part of the continuing building Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. Dina, she went out, it wasn't so L'shem Shemayim. Again, Kafi Dargotza, it wasn't the same thing. So why does the Torah comparing Dina to Leah? So you see a very important lesson. Sensitivity. Granted, Leah was L'shem Shemayim. But again, on her Madrega, there was something lacking. Whatever it was, we can't be Masik. On her Madrega, maybe she was too Mikusheta. She dressed up a little too fancy, whatever it was. So that ingrained in her a teva of the Mekushetes Kazona. That gave her a teva of being out there, of being a little too noticeable. And that became part of her nature mamish, and that was passed on to her daughter. So we see how sensitive the neshama is, that the smallest thing could become part of a person's teva and have a tremendous impact on that person's life and their whole hanhaga sachayim. We find by Eir Nidachas, the Torah gives avtacha. You should destroy Eir Nidachas, you have to destroy the city, you have to kill the people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I'll give you rachamim. So the Orach Chaim explains, because even though a person's engaged in a mitzvah, L'shem Shemayim, and they're burning down Eir Nidachas, and they're killing people, L'maisa, the neshama, is sensitive. It makes an impact on a person. It makes a roshim. You're going to become violent. You might get violent tendencies, even though, again, you were acting L'shem Shemayim. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to give a special avtacha that I'll give you rachamim, I'll give you the midah of rachamim, because you'll lose your sensitivity to rachamim when you're involved in something, even if, again, it's L'shem Shemayim. David HaMelech wasn't zocher to build the Beis HaMikdash because he had blood on his hands. I was L'shem Shemayim. David HaMelech wasn't stam a rogue warrior. What's the pshat? Pshat is, there's a certain lack of sensitivity. If the hands that are filled with blood are going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Again, things beyond our comprehension. But the point is the sensitivity. We have to be very, very aware. So what we do has a tremendous roshem on us. It makes a tremendous impact, even if we don't really think so. It does. It pops up. You might not see it right away. You might not see it 10 years from now. You might not see it in your lifetime. Maybe you'll see it in your kid's lifetime. But it's there. You put it into the teva. You put it there. It's very important. What you do has a tremendous impact. Also what you see. There's a maisa I just saw the other day, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his yeshiva. I guess when he first came to New York, there was a fire in the dormitory. So the whole dormitory, the whole yeshiva was evacuated. It was the middle of Seder. So all the Talmidim, the Rabbeim, the yeshiva staff, hundreds of people were outside. As the firemen said, they all have to run. They have to run out of the building. So one of the Talmidim said that they saw Rav Yaakov was crying. He was mamish crying. Why was he crying? Because the Bittul Torah, all the Bittul Torah, the people had to run out of the base medrash in the middle of learning for the fire. Terrible Bittul Torah. Of course they did the right thing by running out. But the point is, he was sensitive to the fact of the Bittul Torah and he cried. And the Talmud writing this story says that made a bigger impact on him than any drusha that he heard. Because when you see something lemaisa, it makes erosion, it makes an imprint on a person's neshama. You see that he's crying, how he values Talmud Torah and how Bittul Torah is such a terrible tragedy that a guy can give you a mussar drusha from today until tomorrow, until he's blue in the face. It doesn't make the same impact when you see a maisa, when you see dakistik, when you see something very, very, very delicate, very subtle. That makes a very, very big roshim in a person. So what we see and what we do has a... You can't comprehend the consequences. I know for myself, I have a cousin here, he's a big tzaddik, and he... I was once at his house. I said this maisa yesterday in the Pirkei Avos, in my internationally renowned, acclaimed Pirkei Avos here. Why are you laughing? Anyway, so I was by my cousin for Sukkot, and Sukkot day, I was in Shul. He davened in a yeshiva near his house, and there was someone after Shul said Shalom Aleichem to me, and my cousin introduced me to this person who's originally from Chicago. He said, "Oh, I know your parents. Maybe you'll come for the Suda." I said, "Fine, great. Let me just ask my host." I asked my cousin, you know, this person invited me to come to his house for the Suda. Maybe it's Shaykh, are you Mavater? He said, let me get back to you. Sit, you stay here, I'll get back to you. I have to go home and talk with my wife. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what's the deal over here? What could be the big deal? So I was sitting there in the basement for like a half hour. I'm getting hungry. Finally, my cousin comes back and he says, "Okay, here's the cheshbon. Lemaisa, this person who invited you is a big Talmud Chacham. It would be very good for you. It would broaden your horizons to see the hanhagas of this Talmud Chacham in his house, in his sukkah. It would be very good for you. But there's a chazal that when a Talmud Chacham eats at your table, it's like you're eating from the mizbeach. And you had the din of a Talmud Chacham because you're a yeshiva bach, or someone who's learning in yeshiva has the din of a Talmud Chacham. So me and my wife were not sure if we're mevater on that school, on that schus. It's not a small thing just to throw away the ability to have to eat from the mizbeach. That's what I was dumbfounded. The guy is 10 times bigger than I am, and I'm a 19-year-old punk in yeshiva, and he's making these cheshbonos for a half hour with his wife and back and forth the shakavataria. Broaden your horizons, it'll be good for you, but beside us, maybe we're not mevater. He went back and forth and finally said, "So we came down to it that, you know, it's up to you. We can't be monea tov from you. It might be very good for you. Mitzad us, we're not really mevater, but mitzad you, you know, you should do what's right for you." I felt awkward. I'm going to go knock on the guy's door. "Sorry, I can't come to your house because, you know, your neighbor is worried about the chazal that I'll take away from him the ability to eat from the mizbeach because I'm, you know, such an adam gadol." So in the end, I said, "Okay, I'll just go to this person." He invited me. He seemed excited because he knew my parents from Chicago, whatever. I said, "Fine, fine." So to this day, that sticks with me. When Chazal says something, it's not just you just run through Chazal, it's a very nice Chazal. This person lived it. And that maisa made more of a roshim on me than, again, any drasha maybe I've ever heard. When you see Chazal, the words of Chazal are real. It's not a joke. It's not rhetoric. It's not just melitzas and just, you know, a nice vort. Viter, after the chant, a nice vort. This is how a person lives his life, mamish with Chazal. To this day, it makes an impression on me 20 years later. So what we see and what we do, again, has a tremendous, tremendous impact on us. And we know that. Now, recently, I was at a function. It was might have been parents-teachers meetings. And I was walking in, and I saw from a distance some woman with the whole deal, the high heels, the tight dress, fitted, very short, the sheitel that probably could pay for 2 mortgages of mine. Everything within the realm of halacha. Within the realm of halacha. No, it's isurim. There's a lack of sensitivity. I go to my wife and say, "You know what? I'm done with this. No more chasanas, no more parlor meetings, and no more nothing. I'm shaving my head. I'm moving to Bnei Brak. I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. I'm sick of it. People have no sensitivity." Now, I'm not judging others, okay? Everyone has to do their... I have to worry about myself. I have enough chesronos. I have to worry about myself. But that's what I'm worrying about. I'm worrying about myself. Sensitivity. What you see, you have no... Women have no idea what they're doing to men. No clue. No clue. And I know as Bakrim, it's for sure it's impossible. I mean, someone once came to Rosh Hashanah, they said, I'm having bad thoughts, I have to get married. So Rosh Hashanah said, oh, thank God, Baruch Hashem, if you weren't having thoughts, I would take you to the doctor, I would take you to the hospital, something wrong with you. These things are natural, obviously. Kodesh Baruch Hu put it into the Bria. But we have to be sensitive. And we have to know that we have to limit our exposure to all types of things, because it damages us. And even if we think, I saw something and I'm used to what I saw in high school, this is nothing. Well, you should be on a higher madriga now than when you were in high school. When you're on a higher madriga, when you're more sensitive, things make more of an impact. When a person has a healthy skin, putting a piece of ice on his skin will not be so bad. But if a person develops sensitivity and his skin is very, very sensitive, then you put an ice cube on his hand, it might hurt very much. It might be a very sharp pain. The more sensitive we get, the higher madriga we achieve, the more these things make an impression on us. I was once with a charus of mine, mamash, a big tzaddik, in Eretz Yisrael. We had to get a cab. It was like midnight. There were no more buses in Eretz Yisrael. So we flagged down a cab, and there happened to be the driver, and there was a girl in the front seat. I don't know, his wife, his girlfriend, I don't know. So I get in the cab, he grabs me away, my charusa, and he's not like a frumer. I mean, he's the real deal. And he says, I can't go in that cab. I'm like, ice, I'll melt. He said, there's some lady in the front seat? But he said, are you kidding me? So he was holding on a higher madriga than I. It made more of an impact on him. We have to be very, very sensitive. We have to realize what we do makes a big impression. And again, most of you are not in the situation to be mechanich, a wife or a child, but we have to be mechanich ourselves at least, to recognize everything we do not only affects us, it affects other people. We have to be so careful. And you go to places, again, you're going to go to chasnas, you're going to see all types of things and smell all types of things, and it's just a big chaval. And again, I don't know what the Eitzah is. I mean, again, maybe shaving the head and going to Bnei Brak is probably the best Eitzah. I don't know. Again, you know, Kain Hara, I have a big family. It would be a big move at this point. I'm not sure how we would pay for it and everything. But we just have to recognize that the neshama is very, very, very sensitive. And the little subtleties are the things that make the biggest roshing. And I just felt like I had to speak about that because, again, this is a couple of weeks ago, innocuous parent-teacher conference. What could be so bad? But again, just I'm tired of the whole show. And again, if other people aren't going to be sensitive, we can at least be sensitive. When you leave yeshiva, if you leave yeshiva, you know, don't start with the blue jeans. I can't stand it that a guy learned yeshiva for 12 years, all of a sudden now he's into nursing homes and has to walk around, you know, like Mr. Calvin Klein. I mean, what's shaykes? What's the kesher? You're not hiring tax brackets, so you have to dress in pajamas every day. I mean, I don't get the whole deal. So again, we have to stick to our virtues and to our expectations and our standards, and not lose focus of that. It's very important. Just finish off with a tremendous board I saw in a sefer Megid Yosef. I had the same kasha that he had, and he answers very nicely. There are two kashas. I'll tell you the one that was bothering me. When Yaakov is preparing to encounter Esav, he splits up, we know, into four camps: the Shvachos, Leah, and then Rochel. So the question is that one of the Magidim asks in Vilna, the Magid from Vilna, I'm not sure who that is, I don't think that's a Dubna Magid. He used to go to Vilna to give Musar to the Grub, but this is someone else. And he has a kasha. We find that Yaakov was, Yosef was despised by the brothers, or they were jealous of him because he had a ksonas pasi. Okay, he had a nice coat, they were jealous of him. So, fine. But wouldn't this be more of a reason to be jealous, to have resentment towards Yosef? The fact that we're dealing with nefashos over here, that Yaakov is preparing for war, and he wants to give the people farthest back the best ability to run away and save their lives. Who does he put in the back of the line? Yosef and Rachel. What a slap in the face to the older Bnei Leah. How could they not be jealous and resentful? They resent him because of a coat, but here it's we're having there's a fire, so we're going to put you closest to the exit, Yosef and Rachel, and you will put you in the corner. Oh, okay, no tainas. How could it be? How is it shaykh? Now, this was bothering me, and he points this out. Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it, Achron Achron Chaviv. We see from this Indian here in the Chumash that the people that are further back are more Chaviv. Achron Achron Chaviv. Rashi says it by Bnei Leah. He says the Shvachos were in the front,
And then B'nai Leah, and that Rashi says Achron, Achron, Chaviv, and then B'nai Rachel, Rachel and Yosef. How come Rashi doesn't say Achron, Achron, Chaviv by Rachel? The Torah says that the fact that Rachel was all the way in the back of Yosef is not a raya that there was more Chavivus that Yaakov had for Yosef and Rachel than he did for Leah and B'nai Leah. They understood that. That's why there was no resentment. They understood that Rachel was a Eishes Yifas Torah, not that type of Eishes Yifas Torah, but she was a beautiful woman. And Chazal already tells us that Yosef stood in front of Rachel. He did not want Esav to see her. Because if Esav sees her, he thought this might go through his mind, he might try to violate her, try to chop her, whatever it is. Keep her to the best of her ability out of the sight of Esav. That was the agenda. And everyone understood it. The B'nai Leah understood it. They were sensitive to it. They thought about it. They had foresight. We have to have foresight and sensitivity before we go somewhere. Again, I don't know what the Eitz is. We go to Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of simchas. We're exposed to all types of things. We have to do our best. We have to have a game plan, whatever it is. We have to be normal. You can't say, I'm not going to the chassid. I don't go to chassid. I don't know if we're on that madrega. I don't know. I'll speak for myself. I mean, a lot of times I try to get out of going to chassid, but I have to say it's not so l'shem shemayim. It's just that I'm lazy and I'm a deadbeat. But in any case, we have to be very, very sensitive. And